Joining us now is Senate Minority Leader Len Fasano. Senator, welcome to Front and Center.
Good morning or good afternoon. How are you today?
Good. How are you?
Good, thank you.
Senator, this latest development involving Bridgewater, which obviously was on the receiving end of one of the most controversial loans ever given out by the State Bond Commission, this latest story in the New York Times yesterday essentially stated that Bridgewater has stopped hiring. Now, Bridgewater isn't saying it has. That's the New York Times reporting. But my question to you is, one of the bases for the State Bond Commission loaning money to Bridgewater was that they plan to maintain 1,400 jobs and were going to add 750 jobs. So I'm just wondering what your reaction is to all of this.
Well, you know, it doesn't surprise me in a number of fronts. First of all, the Bonding Commission is really the governor's commission. He controls it. He's got vastly more than the majority votes on there. So he controls the commission 100%. So if something gets in front of the Bonding Commission, it is going to go because the governor wants it to go. So that being said, there is no independent scrutiny of something like Bridgewater and the $22 million. It is the governor determining that's what he wants to do, and the folks on that commission follow suit except for the Republicans. So I have no idea. There's no insight to why DECD continues to fund Bridgewater. If you recall, originally they were going to move from one part of Connecticut to another part of Connecticut, and that didn't happen, but we're still giving them money. We gave them money to clean up the very piece of property that they were going to move to that they ended up not moving to. I don't know what happened to that money. I don't know whether we recapture that money if that property is ever sold. I have no idea. But this is, and when you ask DECD for the information, like I did with Hallmark Cards, like I did for business in Wallingford, the answer I get back is, these are negotiations and they're not FOIable and we keep them to ourselves so people don't know the deals we make. So all this is done outside any transparency whatsoever. And so now you read about Bridgewater is shrinking, if you would, and not adding jobs. We promised that we gave the $22 million. There's another 30-some-odd million to come through. And I can't tell you what the deal is because they won't tell me. That's just simply unfair.
This is just incredible. Now, when the Bond Commission makes a decision, and according to the New York Times story, Bridgewater also lost more than $500 million as the California, the state of California had money invested in Bridgewater, and the state university system particularly withdrew more than $500 million that it had invested with Bridgewater. Does the Bond Commission know any of this when it makes a decision to dole out the money?
I would venture no. Certainly that was not known to my members or myself about that issue at all. So I would say no. But you would think that the commissioner, Catherine Smith, who claims to be the fiduciary of taxpayers' money, would have done her homework and would have found this out and would have told somebody, or the governor would know at the very least, one would think. But we don't, at that level, DECD makes the review with the governor and his staff to determine which companies they're going to help, why they're going to help them, and it goes through on the governor's quote-unquote first five, which are much more than that now. So there's very little, if any, information given to anybody about anything. So I think it's an interesting question for us to ask Commissioner Smith, and I will, whether or not she knew about this $500 million that was taken back of a California investment, and find out if she knew about that, when she knew about that, and what is she going to do about it? I think those are fair questions. But the answer is no. They don't give you a file. It isn't like a board of directors meeting. They've done the homework, and they say, this is what we're going to do. You want to vote no? Vote no, but I've got the votes. And that's what he does.
Wow. The commissioner is on record as saying, because as you know, when the money was doled out to Bridgewater, it was very controversial, particularly in the wake of state layoffs at the local level, teachers losing their jobs because the state has reduced funding to municipalities. But she was on the record as saying, quote, this is in a Hartford Current story, if the company doesn't perform, we have the ability to get our money back. Now, is that a specific statement, or is she talking in generalities here?
Usually what happens on these types of deals is that they negotiate a contract which has certain goalposts, if you would, and if you meet those goalposts, you don't return the money or you get more money, what have you. And I think what Catherine Smith might be alluding to is if they don't reach or do what they're supposed to do, they can go back after the company and get the money. The question I would have is, how many times has the state done that? I certainly don't know of any current lawsuit pending, so I don't know how many times the state have done that. And, you know, there's many ways. Where are you in the order of your lien? If I'm fifth in my order of my lien and there's not a lot of assets in that company, I'm not going to get paid. If that company files some sort of bankruptcy, I'm not suggesting Bridgewater will, but if a company does file some sort of bankruptcy protection, well, depending on where I am, I may be, 10 cents on a dollar, who knows. So I think there's a lot, and we can't find out how Catherine Smith is managing this because the documents they will not give to me, and I've asked for Bridgewater documents, and I've asked for other documents. So when she makes that statement, it is blanket in its nature, but there are agreements which will specify the conditions for which repayment will be made and conditions for which repayment will not be made, and a breach of that being a contract could lead to litigation. I've yet to see any litigation. I know that when businesses get into trouble, Catherine Smith refinances the business so they don't default, at least for the moment. But I haven't seen an aggressive, I want my money back attitude yet.
In the Hartford Current story where she was quoted, the Current writes, under the terms of the deal, Bridgewater would receive a $17 million loan that would be forgiven if the company creates 750 new jobs, as well as retaining the 1,402 positions it currently has in the state. Now, as I understand it, when it came to the money doled out by Cigna, which I believe was the first on the receiving end of the governor's then first five, they didn't necessarily have to create the jobs promised. If, for example, they hired a landscaping firm that they didn't have before to come and do landscaping at their facility, then they could count that as jobs being created. Do you know the definition, the actual definition of new jobs when it comes to the state doling out this money?
I do not know if in the particular agreement with Bridgewater, if there is a definition of a new job. So I can't answer that question. Once again, they won't give me any of the contracts or agreements. They say it's a proprietary information, even though it's taxpayer information. They don't want other companies to know the deal and maybe mimic the deal. Who knows? But they won't give us. I can't answer that question specifically. I will say you're right with respect to Cigna, and you're right with respect to other companies where there has been some issue with a loan where farming out or hiring subcontractors counted as a job, not necessarily being on the payroll of a company, as long as they create a job by hiring the landscaper or the alarm guy or what have you, they've counted that as a job. But it depends upon the language of the agreement.
Particularly in the wake of state employees losing their jobs, and as I said before, teachers losing their jobs at the municipal level, does this astound you that taxpayers' money is being doled out in this way and there doesn't appear to be any kind of transparency?
3 or 4 years ago, when Bridgewater was going to get money, when they were going to move to Stamford from one town to another town in Connecticut, and the CEO of Bridgewater literally makes $1 billion a year, I thought it was outrageous we were giving them any money at that time. I didn't understand it. I don't understand it now. I certainly didn't understand it then. This guy's a billionaire. You were going to give him, I don't know how much it was, $22 million, $30 million. That's a rounding error in the guy's tax return if he's making $1 billion a year, and he was. So why we were giving them any money is beyond my scope. That being said, that deal never happened. We cleaned up the property with taxpayers' money. They never moved to Stanford because there was a local zoning issue. They stayed where they are, and then we gave them, as most recently you noted, $22 million. I'm astounded that we're cutting Medicaid recipients getting money. We're cutting TANF, the poorest of the poor. We're cutting care for kids. We're cutting help to families with disability or adult disabled children. We're cutting DCF. We're making all these cuts, but yet we could give $22 million to a hedge fund where the owner or the CEO is a billionaire. It is egregious, egregious that we're doing this. But you know what? I brought those arguments before. I argued it before it went to the bond commission and the press. But this governor saw fit that in his mind, this was something that made sense for Connecticut. And that's very sad.
Now, to be fair, when you make the argument that a lot of these programs are being cut, the Democrats will counter. The Republicans are hypocritical. They would cut those programs and did cut those programs when there was a Republican governor. What do you say to that?
First of all, no one has cut the programs like the Democratic majority have cut the programs. That's number one. Number two, you know, they always forget the one missing item. When we had Governor Rell, we had Governor Rowland for most of his years, but certainly Governor Rell, a budget gets passed when the legislature approves the budget. The governors cannot approve the budget. Only the legislature can approve the budget. During Governor Rell's time, there was a supermajority in this place that could override a governor's veto by the Democrats. And the Democrats controlled the House and the Senate and still do today. So they're the only people who could pass a budget. So if their argument is under Rell, there were cuts made to those services, I would say, yeah, because you made them. You passed the budget. I only voted for one of Rell's budget. I voted against all the other budgets. So they passed the budget on their terms as their majority. That's number one. Number two, when the governor cut all the social services, it was the Democrat, it was Republicans who put it back in before the Democrats did their budget. We set the pace. Number three, we fought hard last session to put back more social services and to help out the disabled, and the Democrats once again ignored us and made those cuts to protect their programs and dole out their money and their special interest money to those representatives and senators who voted for their budgets. That's why some towns get more education money, not because that town deserves it, not because that town has some issue in their town where they need more money, but because they needed that vote. And that's sad. So you took the educational formula, threw it out the window, and say, okay, we're going to divide it up as we see fit. And we're going to give a little bit more to this town, and we're going to give a little bit more to that town. Why? Well, maybe because that person is a leader, Democrat leader, and maybe because that person is the head of a money committee. So we're going to give them a little bit more for their education. That's wrong. But that's what they do, and they do it to hurt people. And people get hurt in this state because of these practices. And they know that people's lives are too busy, and other than capital insiders, nobody really knows what's going on. And that's why I try to make as much noise as I can about the system we have here. It's wrong.
We won't know for another couple of weeks when August rolls around, but we are in a new fiscal year. Are you confident that the current budget can stay in balance?
The current budget is out of balance right this second. The current budget is out of balance, and I would suggest this current budget is going to be significantly out of balance. And the only reason why you're not hearing a lot about it is because the Democratic majority and the governor and his office of OPM refuse to acknowledge the existence of that deficit. The Office of Policy Management, OPM, which is the fiscal arm of the governor, keeps track of these numbers. And they're not going to admit that there's a deficit in this fiscal year before the November elections. Just like Dan Malloy told Tom Foley in a debate, when Tom Foley says there's a deficit and we've got problems, Dan Malloy said, what planet are you on? You have no idea what you're talking about. We're doing well. There's no deficit. I'm not going to raise taxes. Things are terrific. And that turned out not to be a truthful statement. I'm suggesting we are in the same spot today as we were then. And the Democrats are going to not talk about this fiscal deficit because they don't want to lose the majority in November. But after November, as sure as I'm on the phone with you now, they will do a tax increase to make up for that deficit. Senator Looney, President of the Senate, said last year, we will not raise taxes this year. The converse is, I'm going to raise taxes next year. But we are in a deficit. The income is off. Taxable income is off. Sales tax is off. Housing market is slump. So we're losing revenue. They just don't want to face the music till after November.
Talking with Senate Minority Leader Len Fasano. Senator, the governor yesterday at an impromptu news conference seemed to suggest, he didn't come out directly and say it, but seemed to suggest he would be in favor of taxing us by the miles we drive in order to underwrite transportation improvements in the state. There's a growing movement, as you know, in Connecticut, part of an experiment with the federal government and other states to tax us by the miles we drive. What are your thoughts on that?
So this is called VMT, vehicle mileage tax. They have it in the state of Washington, for example, if people want to Google and sort of read about it. And what the governor first said and the Democratic leadership said when I said, if we're doing this study and we're paying the federal government $300,000, for which the federal government is going to give us money to help do this study, which requires the state to not only study it, but figure out how to implement it in the state of Connecticut. So there's two parts to this. They're going to study it, and you have to have a plan to implement it. If we're not going to do it, like Governor Malloy initially said a couple weeks ago, and the Democratic majority said a couple weeks ago, we're not going to do the vehicle mileage tax, then why are we spending $300,000 for something we're not going to do? What's the point? And when finally governor was pressed, he hedged his words and said, stammered around the issue of whether or not he was going to do this, because they're going to do this. They just don't want to talk about it before November because they're afraid they could lose the majority in the House and the Senate. So they don't want to talk about it. But the governor danced around it. So I asked the Democratic majority to go into special session and make it unequivocally clear by a vote of the legislature to kill the pilot program, authorize the state not to put the $300,000 up and not do it. And the Democratic majority refuses to do that. And the answer is simple. Because after November, we are going to see a vehicle mileage tax talked about and implemented if they retain the majority. Now, if they don't retain the majority, we break it, so we'll say in the Senate, and I can guarantee we'll stop that. Absent that, they are going to do this. This is all to keep everything quiet till after November.
This is really interesting stuff, and we'll continue the conversation at a later date. But, Senator, we can only hope that people will stay on top of the issues. I know from a business perspective, and this is a business-based show, you start taxing vehicles by the mile. I don't know how businesses could handle it, Senator.
And people can understand or listening, when we talk about by the mile, we're not talking about by the mile on 91 or the Merritt Parkway or some state route. We're talking about every mile you drive, whether it's taking your kids to school, whether it's going to the community center, whether it's going to the doctors, every mile you drive from the time you leave your driveway or your apartment building, you are going to be taxed on every mile you drive, no matter where it is. That's the biggest problem with this bill or this proposal.
Okay.
What they're looking for is money so they could spend it. They have to get control of what they're spending it on, like ridiculous things like Bridgewater.
All right. Senator, you've been very informative. As always, we thank you very much for spending some time with us today, and we'll talk again down the road.
Sounds good. Thank you very much.
Take care.